In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the reading from Acts, which is appointed for the feast of St. Dionysius the Areopagite, we see an example of how St. Paul engaged pagans. And there's a lot of important lessons that we could learn. We're told that he was disputing in the markets. He came to Athens, which Rome was the political center of the Roman Empire, but Athens was the intellectual center still. And this is where the great philosophers were taught, and all the people in Athens, we're told, were busy about inquiring about what was the latest thought that was going around. It says, "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Other some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing.'" So the Areopagus was sort of the center of Athens. This is where people met, and this is where people often did business, but also where the philosophers sat around and they talked. And they heard St. Paul disputing with people in the marketplace. They heard him talking about Christ and the resurrection. They were intrigued because St. Paul clearly was an educated man, but yet he was teaching things that were entirely different from what the Greeks had always believed. And so some people wanted to dismiss him right off the bat, but other people thought, well, let's see what he has to say. Now, the fact that so many people in Athens sat around and did nothing but think about or wanted to hear what the latest thoughts were, this is an example of how we can give ourselves over to idle curiosity and not trying to learn so that we can put things into practice. And this is a temptation that even we as Orthodox Christians need to watch out for, because it's good to read the latest elders, you know, things that have been published in English, you know, the writings of some saint or some new elder that hasn't yet been glorified as a saint but undoubtedly will be, and to be up on all of these things. But if you're only reading these things because you're curious and you want to be on top of it all, but you aren't actually trying to do anything with what you're learning, then you're doing the same thing that these people were doing, and it's not doing you any good. Then it says, "Then St. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are very religious.'" Now, the King James actually translates that as saying, you are too superstitious. Both translations are possible, but it's not likely that St. Paul would have began a discussion to a bunch of non-Christians by insulting them, and it's more commonly the word that was used there would just mean that you're a very religious people. I can look around and see that your religion means something to you. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you." What's interesting about this image that they worshipped, or actually this altar that had an inscription, it didn't have an image, was around 600 years prior to this time, there was a plague that was devastating the city of Athens, and all the pagan priests were offering sacrifices to the various gods that they knew, and it did not let up. And finally, a Greek poet by the name of Epimenides said, "There must be an unknown God that we've offended. So let's offer sacrifice to him." So they offered sacrifice to the unknown God, and the plague stopped. And what this goes to show is that God never left anybody without a witness. They all had the witness of creation, and God revealed himself to people even before they heard the gospel. But this was a way of preparing people for the gospel. And we're told that even the Greek philosophers in many ways prepared the Greek world for the gospel, because they had thought about a lot of the truths of the universe and came to certain insights that made them a little bit more open to the gospel than their ancestors would have been. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds in their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any of us, any one of us. So what St. Paul is saying is that God doesn't need anything. The pagans always thought they could bribe the gods into doing things. God doesn't need anything from us. We do worship God, but we worship God as Christians, knowing that God doesn't need anything from us, but only because we, as creatures, ought to worship God. And St. Paul says that all men are of one blood. All the Gentiles come from the same origin as the Israelites do, and that God was trying to reach them all these many centuries as well. And he cared for them and he loved them. He wasn't far from them, and he was now revealing himself to them. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. So St. Paul even quoted Greek philosophers in this sermon, and what we see here is how you engage people who are not already Christians. You take the good things that they already know, and you go from there. There's in every culture that you'll find on the face of the earth, there's something in that culture that is a doorway for them to understand the gospel. And we have to understand what that is and then try to appeal to that. But we also don't want to go so far as to try to water down the message. St. Paul says in his epistles that the cross of Christ is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Now, if he had consulted with church growth experts, they probably would have said, well, don't talk much about the cross up front. Don't talk about the resurrection, because the Greeks don't believe in the resurrection. Focus on all this stuff about how we're all of one nation and in him we live, move, and have our being. That's the kind of stuff that will appeal to them. But St. Paul didn't stop there. He wasn't going to try to get people to accept the faith by changing it. He was going to pass on the faith as it was, whether they accepted it or not. And he concludes his sermon with this. He says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath also given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them." So as soon as St. Paul began to talk about the resurrection and the final judgment, which is something that the Greeks had no concept of, that's when these people stopped listening. At least a lot of them did. But that didn't stop St. Paul from telling them what the truth was, because the truth is the truth whether people want to accept it or not. And there were some people who opened up their hearts, and among them was St. Dionysius the Areopagite, whose memory we celebrate today. And we know from tradition that St. Dionysius, who was a philosopher that had all the knowledge of the Greeks, embraced the faith, and he took the good things that he had learned before he encountered Christianity, and he was able to explain many deep mysteries of the faith. And so we have his writings that we very highly treasure. And he sealed his confession of the faith with his own blood. In the gospel reading that's appointed for his feast, we hear about the treasure that's found in the field and the pearl of great price, and how when you find something that is beyond the value of anything else. You sell everything you have and you buy it because you found this great treasure. Well, St. Dionysius gave his own life because he found that treasure. He gave his life in exchange for that pearl of great price. And if we preach the gospel with boldness, if we don't water it down, but we do try to point people to the things that they already know and to lead them from what they already know to the things that they don't know, many around us will be saved as well. Amen.